Well, I'm overdue preaching to you this morning this message on the Helper has come. You will find the significance not only in Scripture this morning, but in this house today concerning this message. We're looking today in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 28, and I'd like you to follow along. We're going to slowly take this passage apart if you'll just bear with me. Jesus is talking here, and the first thing he says is, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Now, you have to understand what things Jesus is referring to. We'll only go back as far as the full 14th chapter, but Jesus begins by telling them, "Don't let your heart be troubled." He says, "If you believe in God, believe in me." And Jesus begins to tell his disciples that, "I'm going to go away. Don't get too excited or too depressed. I'm going to come back." Well, we'll find out in Scripture that was not really good enough for them, and there were some things they didn't understand. He goes on to talk about the Father. Jesus talks about another helper that's coming. So Jesus was a type of helper in that day. He talks about about the indwelling of the Father and Son. And so there's many other details there, but he says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." And then he goes on in verse 26. "But the Helper." Everybody say the Helper. He first calls him the Helper, and then he identifies him as the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. How many things will the Holy Spirit teach you? Now, we know he was specifically talking to the followers of that day, but if you are a follower of Jesus today, then that also applies to you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. What are the things you need to be taught? The things that you don't know, right? He will teach you all things. And then he says, "And bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." Now, Jesus again was talking to his disciples that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance that I have said to you. But do you know, even though you wasn't there in that day to hear the voice of Jesus, to hear Jesus teach, he is still speaking today? That's what revelation knowledge does. When we're taught the Word of God, Jesus is speaking when the message is about Jesus and His grace and mercy. And so Jesus is speaking to us, but sometimes we don't instantly seem to retain, or even a week later, everything we've heard. But when you need it, He will bring all things to your remembrance. Amen. And then He says something so awesome. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." When I listen to people pray for peace, I get a little bit disturbed, because what we don't understand is Jesus already gave us peace. And so we're crying out for things, we're praying prayers that God will not answer. God cannot answer because He's already done it. And so He doesn't say here, "Lord, don't let my heart be troubled." Anybody ever pray that? "Lord, I'm stressed about this, but don't let my heart be troubled." Well, you can't pray that and be in line with Scripture, because the Scripture said, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. And then He said, "Neither let it be afraid." So there's two things He's saying here. One, He talks about a troubled heart. What is a troubled heart? Well, how about this? Those little things that bug you. Somebody will say to you, "What's wrong? What's eating at you?" You'll say, "I'm just troubled." It's just about little nitpicky things that are just eating at you. And Jesus said, "Don't let those things trouble you." And then He said, "And neither let it be afraid." The big stuff that scares the daylights out of some folks, Jesus said, "You don't have to be afraid of that." I know this is one church that's not afraid of tornadoes. This is one church that's not afraid to look in the face of a tornado and to say, "In the name of Jesus, you just move on. Go land in some uninhabited place. You will not touch a living soul." And so He says, "Don't be troubled." And we can also transpose these words over here and say, "Let not your heart be afraid." Then He goes on in verse 28 and says, "You have heard me say to you." That's pretty specific. I didn't hear it, but I'm hearing it in the Word. Amen. "You have heard me say to you, I am going away." Now, why would He say that? Because He has previously addressed that I'm going away. And He said, "And coming back to you." That's very important. And then Jesus says something very profound. He says, "If you loved me, I find those words a setup. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. How can I rejoice, Jesus? You're telling us you're going to leave. I mean, you've done everything for us, Jesus. We are totally dependent on you. If there's going to be a miracle, it's going to be you, Jesus. If there's going to be a blessing, it's going to be you, Jesus. Whatever happens, if multitudes follow anybody, it's going to be you, Jesus. And yet he said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, if you love me, rejoice in me because I'm going to my Father who is greater than I. Now I want you to notice four things in this passage that I felt were very significant. One, God calls the Holy Spirit the helper. Jesus was not the helper prior to that in a sense. He just did it all and everybody else walked around and followed him. Do you know that you are not a servant of God? You are not God's servant. You are God's friend. You are God's companion. You are God's relation. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he calls him the helper. The Holy Spirit is here on this earth to draw the world to Jesus and to empower the church to carry out Jesus' mission. Now, when you think about how that Jesus is here, or the Holy Spirit is here on the earth to draw the world to him, how does the world get drawn to Jesus? I'm going to tell you how this morning. I may be called a heretic and a few other things, but I'm going to tell you how the world is drawn to Jesus. And it's not through the conventional ways that we thought, even though some of those conventional ways may not be wrong. I want you to hear me. So we're on this mission. We want the world to come to Jesus. And so we read scriptures out of context, like go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. When I hear the word compel, I relate it to the word force. Let's go out in the highways and byways and force them to come to church. Let's tell them, you dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell. You better change. You ever had a door slammed in your face with that kind of witnessing? Or turn you off because of that kind of witnessing? Man, don't you know you're going to hell? It's like I really needed to hear that today. You didn't make my day, by the way, Christian. And so we got this idea that we're going to go tell the world how bad they are. They already know how bad they are. They know they're lost and without Jesus. But we're going to tell them how bad they are, and we don't know what the proper way to share the kingdom of God is, but we're going to find out today in Scripture. All right? And so that's what we're up against. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand that we have a helper and we are not alone. Everybody say, I'm not alone. When you're by yourself, folks, you are not alone. You have the helper with you. Now, notice the role change here. Jesus, who does all the leading, Jesus, who does all the healing, Jesus, who does all the miracles, Jesus, who finds money in fishes' mouths, Jesus, who stands up against the religious crowd, and all of a sudden, he's gone, and a helper comes. What does a helper do? If you have a helper, what does a helper do? Helps you to do what Jesus did. See, no longer are we looking to Jesus to do it all, even though some Christians still have that mentality. You know why? Because he's already done it all. Last Sunday morning, I hesitated to tell you this, and so I just set it aside, but the Holy Spirit just brought it to my mind. Last Sunday morning, I began praying in tongues. I was laying in bed battling what they call bronchitis. I never agree with doctors. I agree with God's Word. Someone said, if the doctor says I'm sick, I'll look in God's Word and find out if it's true. And so anyway, I was laying there praying in the Spirit, and then after a while, Faye left for church, and I continued praying in the Spirit. Now, about the time you all were in Sunday school, I fell asleep for a little while. I woke back up about the time Sunday school was over, and I started praying in the Spirit. That's all that would come out of my mouth. I just prayed in the Spirit. And I prayed in the Spirit all the way till Faye got home. But in the middle of that, the Spirit of God spoke to me as clear as if Faye would have been standing in the room talking to me. And he said, I want you to stop laying hands on people to get healed. They are already healed according to the finished work of the cross. Lay hands on them and declare the finished work of the cross on them. Declare that it's done in Jesus' name. I was astounded. When I told Faye that, she was as astounded as I was. We're asking God to do things that he's already done. You are healed. What you need to do is come in alignment or agreement with the finished work of the cross. And you know what? I learned something right then. And I continued declaring that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you see me in the finished work of the cross. You do not see me here and needy today. Think about that. Number two, the Father sent the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Think about that. God sent the Holy Spirit to us. This helper came in the name of Jesus. Now, why is that? The Holy Spirit is authorized to empower you to use the name of Jesus. Maybe you don't understand how powerful the name of Jesus is, but I'll tell you what happens when the name of Jesus is spoken. Even if you can't see it, demons get real trembly and shaky. So if they're messing with you, I can tell you how to straighten that out. Speak the name of Jesus. Thank you. Just begin to worship Jesus. Give Jesus some love and some praise. Matter of fact, too much of our prayers and too much of our time is spent telling Jesus about how bad it is and how all the needs we have instead of beginning to thank Jesus and give Him worship. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm healed by your stripes. Thank you, Jesus, that all my need is met. Thank you, Jesus, that your word actually is the truth. And I tell you what, praise and worship just not only drives the enemy batty, but just causes him not want to hang around you. I can't imagine you wanting to hang around them either. So the Holy Spirit is authorized to empower you to use the name of Jesus. Also, the Holy Spirit is to help you understand your authority in Jesus. He will keep. Does He not teach us all things? Amen. He'll help you to understand your authority in Jesus so that when you use that name and you step out and you see something actually move or break or happen, then you start getting a little bolder and a little bolder until you understand the Holy Spirit is the helper and you're the one that's got to exercise and release the kingdom of God on the earth. Number three, the Holy Spirit is here to teach you all things, as I just said. This means that the Holy Spirit will bring to you the revelation of Jesus written in the Bible. How many know there's revelation being preached in pulpits all over the world today that is not revelation that came from the Holy Spirit? He will teach you the revelation of Jesus Christ that is in the Bible. The Holy Spirit will help you understand God's Word. If you are a person who says, I just can't understand the Bible, I wish you'd just stop saying that. I just can't understand the Bible. I mean, no matter what I do, I can't remember. I just have a bad memory. And as your faith is, so be it unto you. See, I learned too long ago that Proverbs 10:7 says, the memory of the just is blessed, and I am the just. Justified in Christ. And besides, I have a helper who will bring to my memory everything that He has taught me about Jesus Christ. He'll teach me all things, the Bible says. Number four, the Holy Spirit is here to bring to your remembrance all things you've learned. What things is that? All the things that have been revealed to you. Revelation knowledge. Now I want you to hear this. You may lose some things over time that were never revealed by the Holy Spirit. Do you know this last, all those years I went through what I did, there was, when I lost most of my memory long term and couldn't deal with short term, I want to tell you something. There was some stuff that I have not remembered yet. Bible stuff. The Holy Spirit will not help you retain stuff that He didn't reveal to you. That it's not a revelation of Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, and church, you be assured of this, that you will never lose the revelation of Jesus which came by the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, I just don't remember anymore. Ask the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He will bring to your remembrance all things that you have learned. I don't know about you, but I take this Bible for what it is. I believe what God says. It becomes the living revelation of Christ. So here's what the Holy Spirit will do in essence. He will help you stay on track. How many believe that today? Have you ever needed help when you were alone by yourself and it seemed like no one responded to your cry? But on the other hand, maybe there were times you cried out for help, you yelled, help, and someone showed up immediately. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's a helper. In those times, you simply needed a helper. And here's what a helper is. He is an intercessor. He is a consoler, not counselor, although he's that too. A consoler. He will console you When you're facing a difficult time, you need a kick in the seat of the britches. I didn't really mean to say that. When you need a little help along the way, He will console you and help you get to where you're going. He is also a comforter. He's an advocate. You've heard of a judge advocate. You've heard of an advocate going and pleading your case. The Holy Spirit is your advocate to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ to the Father. He is your lawyer in heaven. And He basically, the Holy Spirit is just someone to assist you. How many need some assistance today? Well, you've got the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. Look at John 15, verse 26. Jesus again is speaking and says, But when the Helper comes... Let me ask you, New Testament Church of Rolla, Missouri, Worship and Word Fellowship, has the Holy Spirit come? He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you from my Father. Now Jesus says He's going to send Him from the Father, and He calls Him also the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father. Watch these next words. He will testify of me. Who's the Holy Spirit testifying of? Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always cry out the name of Jesus. Do you know why the Holy Spirit does that? Because He's trying to get you to turn to the name of Jesus. He's trying to get you to cry out to Jesus. He's trying to get you to look to Jesus and not the circumstance that you're facing today. Being the Spirit of Truth means this. He will reveal truth. He doesn't reveal error. He'll expose error, but He doesn't reveal error. If you got some revelation... and it's in error concerning the Word of God, the Holy Spirit did not reveal it to you. He reveals truth. Say, the Holy Spirit only reveals truth. Now, there are several reasons why the Holy Spirit has come. But I believe this one right here, He will testify of Jesus, is the primary reason for His coming. And that is to give you a greater revelation of who Jesus is. See, I have a relationship with Jesus, and I want to know Him better. How many of you who have had married relationships, whether you're married today or not, how many of you got to know your partner, your spouse, in 5 days? You knew them as well as they could be known. 5 days, that's all it took, is 5 days. How many of you knew everything about your spouse? I mean, their moods and, you know, their personality, everything, in 5 years? How many know we're still learning one another? Okay? No matter how long you've been married. Well, that's the same thing with Jesus, is we're still learning about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is bringing us a greater revelation of who Jesus is. He is here to reveal to us more insights concerning the finished work of the cross. All that the finished work of the cross entails. Because, church, it is finished. It is finished. And everything that was finished is a benefit for you. Amen. Jesus walked the earth, and His followers found security with Him being here. They came to rely on Him for everything. Everybody say everything. There was nothing that they weren't relying on Him for. Look at John 14 and verse 3 through 6. Jesus talks about what we kind of revealed earlier. He says, and if I go... and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there. Where is there? There is not here. Where is there? I don't know, but that's where it's going to be. That's where we're going. Don't really matter. See, we get too hung up on the there. We get too hung up on the time, the place, the season, the there. Why don't you just get hung up on Jesus? Amen. All right, He said, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas speaks up and says to Him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is your door to the Father. Amen. That's how you get to the Father, praise the Lord. So Jesus did everything He said He would do, and now it was time for Him to go away. He was crucified, died, buried, and rose again from the grave, and now He says, I'm going away. So after Jesus had risen from the grave, he was speaking with his disciples for 40 days. You'll find that in Acts 1, verse 3. For 40 days he spent with the disciples after he rose from the grave, before he ascended up into heaven. Here's what he said, Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them. Say, who was them? His disciples, his followers, a congregation of sorts. He commanded them. How many believe a command is something we ought to do? Now, he was talking to them there. This part doesn't necessarily pertain to you at this moment, but at that point in time, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This term, the promise of the Father, is important for the next few minutes. Which he said, you have heard from me. In other words, you've heard me talk about the promise of the Father. I want you to go and stay at Jerusalem and wait for it. So what is this promise of the Father? Well, let's move on to Acts 1, verse 5 through 8. Jesus says, for John truly baptized with water. Now, how many know they knew about John's baptism? John the Baptist, I mean, he was a baptizer. He was a baptizing folks. This man that wore camel skin, that ate locusts, honey, a hairy man, I think. I'm glad y'all don't look like cavemen and women. And he commanded them, saying, stay here. He said, John, you knew about his baptism. All right, now let's look at this. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You would almost think that would bring an air of excitement. But they were focused on John's baptism. But when Jesus said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, they just didn't get it. I want you to get it this morning. They didn't get it, but I want you to get it. And it goes. They go on. Here's what happens next. Verse number 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, here's what they said to Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, Jesus just said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And the first thing they want to know is this promise of the Father, the kingdom being restored to Israel? In other words, they didn't get this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. Verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons. Everybody say times and seasons. It is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when or after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me. Some translations read my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I'll not haggle with you over what I'm about to say, but I'm just going to tell you what over the years my studies have found when I look at these four locations. Jerusalem was kind of the headquarters of the modern church at that time. And so Jerusalem represents that which is close to home. And he just says that you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're going to receive power. Now, those that spoke Greek probably understood that power at that time was dunamis, miracle-working ability. And Jesus just told them, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Let me ask you this. I'm not talking about getting up in the morning and handing your spouse a Bible tract and say, have you found Jesus? What I'm going to tell, I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself on purpose. What I'm talking about is demonstrating the kingdom of God. Are you demonstrating the kingdom of God to your spouse, to your children, to your home? Well, let's move on from there, because that also could entail your family. I find that the idea around Samaria, or Judah rather, Judah was that place that was not as close as home, but kind of outside my home. Could have been my neighborhood. Could have been the other side of the tracks. You don't really want to go there, but I'm willing, Lord. And then he said, not only in Judea, but he said in Samaria. And I found in my studies, and this may be contradictory, I don't know, that Samaria was a place surrounded by thorns. What does that mean? Well, it's just a little more difficult to get there. It's kind of hard to reach places. And so we got this idea that we're going to go hardcore to people, tell them, turn or burn, get right with Jesus today. And we've all heard that kind of witnessing, and probably someone in this house has done that kind of witnessing. Can I show you a better way this morning? Can I show you the God way to witness this morning? We want to share Jesus with the world, right? What's happened is the world has gotten turned off by what we call conventional methods of witnessing. So how about we do it the way Jesus did it, the disciples did it, that really produces results? I mean, thousands get born again. You'd be interested in thousands getting born again. What I'm going to tell you, you might also find outside your comfort zone. This is the part you might call me a heretic on, but I'm going to stick with it. And then he said to the ends of the earth, and that's just everywhere you go. So why did Jesus ask his disciples, or why did the disciples ask Jesus rather, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The disciples thought this great event that's about to happen, Jesus has been talking about it, this great event, the promise of the Father, is about to happen. Well, they thought this would be the time that Israel would be, the kingdom would be restored to Israel. Kingdom rule restored to Israel, because right now they're under Roman rule. But Israel's going to, those are God's people, man. I mean, surely this is that event. Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying that you can't, and Jesus also told them you can't know the times and the seasons. Now I want you to listen to me, church. I want you to hear this. Jesus is saying that you can't know the time or the season when he will come back and fully establish his kingdom. Talking about the kingdom of God in the earth. Talking about his return. There's another kingdom that was established the day that the Holy Spirit came. God's rule in the earth was established. We're not talking about the second coming now, but a lot of people are referring to the second coming. Here's what is commonly preached and has been preached in the church. From Matthew chapter 25, you can find it, read it on your own. People will say, it says you can't, no one knows the day or the hour, but you can know the seasons. You can't show me in Scripture where it says, but you can know the seasons. Well, it kind of, look how bad it is. It must be, well, it, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. Jesus just said you can't know the times or the seasons. Here's what I want to share with you about that. If anyone tries to tell you when Jesus will return, how many of you ever read the book? 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1988. Well, the same people came up with a new one. He should have come last month or this month or sometime soon. Or next month or whenever. If someone tries to tell you when Jesus is going to return, here's what I want to share with you. It is an absolute guarantee that this supposed revelation is birthed out of the deceptive lies of the enemy. That's it. Jesus said you won't know the day or the hour. That's good enough for me. Jesus said when my kingdom's going to be restored, you won't know the times or the seasons. And I'm telling you that God was about to do something phenomenal with this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's the reality. Your hopes, should your hope be fixed on a date of his return? Or should your hope be fixed in Jesus Christ himself? Oh, I'm looking for him, Pastor. As a matter of fact, we're all going to congregate together and go to this mountain because I heard someone say he's going to be here. And we're going to go there and we're just going to have church and worship till Jesus comes. And you're still going to be doing that until he actually comes. Some may die off. The other generation raise up. Why? Because some lunatic tried to tell you the day or the hour. Some lunatic tried to say, hey, come over here. As a matter of fact, look in Luke 17, verse 21. It says, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So what they're saying is that, hey, come over here. As a matter of fact, let me say this. I am not against, and I've said this many times, if there's a revival going on in town or you got to drive to one and you want to go, just because you want to go and the glory of God is falling and people are being touched, go! But don't go because you think that's where the glory is. Don't go because you think that's where the kingdom is being manifested. God is no respecter of persons. And plus, I just read to you where he said, for indeed. Everybody say indeed. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now here's the relationship between the disciples asking about the kingdom being restored to Israel and Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit being baptism coming upon them. They were looking for a natural kingdom to be established in the earth. Jesus was talking about a supernatural kingdom, the unveiling of God's supernatural kingdom in his church in the earth, because when the Holy Spirit came, the church was birthed. And they didn't get the spiritual connection. Jesus wants us to know the importance of the promise of the Father. As he says in Acts 1:8 again, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. How many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, wait a minute before you raise your hand. If you have ever prayed the prayer, Jesus, Lord Jesus, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, or anything close to that, and I receive my prayer language now. Anybody here, if you have a fluent prayer language, if you're still dealing with stammering lips, it's not just not real clear, or you have one or two words or syllables. I had a one syllable vocabulary when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. La 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 la. Still mine today, it just got expanded. If you have received anything in that arena this morning, raise your hand. Okay. All right. So a good number of you. I want to tell you that this is for you. When you receive that, guess what you receive? You receive power, miracle working ability, the ability to work miracles. You say, how can I do that? I need the Holy Spirit. You're right. He's there to help you, but you're the one that's going to do it. You say, well, that just sounds so contrary to anything I ever heard before. Well, just hang in there. Here's what he said. You shall be witnesses to me. All right. Everybody, look at me. Smile. Smile at me. I want to feel real good when I'm saying this. God is not telling you to be out witnessing 24/7. Jesus just said, you're going to be my witnesses. He is not telling you. As a matter of fact, if I had a show of hands today, I'm not being down on you. I actually admonish you. I would venture to say we would not get any hands raised for someone saying, I spent at least one day a week out on the streets of this town, passing out tracts, going into the red light districts near the bars, passing out tracts and telling people about Jesus. And I admonish you. Nothing wrong with that. You want to pass out tracts and you want to go tell people about Jesus? Hey, we'll bless you and send you on your way. But he is not talking about being out witnessing 24/7. He is not telling us to do witnessing at all. He's telling you to be a witness. He didn't say go do witnessing. See, we've taken the Bible and we've twisted. Someone said it takes a good preacher to confuse the Word of God. I don't want to be guilty of that, and I probably have at some point in my life. He's not telling you to do witnessing. He said to be witnesses. He is telling you that when you are out in the public, it doesn't matter if you got a pocket full of Bible tracts or not. He's telling you to be a witness with your entire being, that you are to be a living witness of Christ. Now, let me ask you this. Here's a sinner. The sinner's got a crippled arm, crippled leg, just struggling along. And the first thing he gets is you meeting him right outside Walmart, since we all like Walmart, and shove a tract in his face and say, do you know that you're going to go to hell? What are you doing? You're doing witnessing. The religious church's view of witnessing. If you're a witnesser, I'm not getting down on you. Go do it. But what about this? What about when Peter and John were outside the gate of the temple, beautiful, not in the temple, outside the gate? And here's a lame man begging. You know, when someone's hobbling along, really, their whole being is aching and saying, help me. You ever thought about just walking up to him and saying, in the name of Jesus, I command your limb to straighten up. I release to you the kingdom of God. Well, how can I do that, Pastor? Because we just read, the kingdom of God is within you. You say, but Pastor, I wouldn't do that. What if somebody gets upset about it? I guarantee you the guy that got healed will not be upset. Now, there is that rare occasion. I told you the story of a man that called me one time, came and visited our church about 20 years ago, and said these words to me, Pastor, come to my house. I'm in pain. Come and pray for me. I went to his house, and he said these words to me. He said, from time to time, I will ask you to come and pray for me. Only pray for the pain to let up a little. Don't ever pray for me to be healed. They'll take away my disability check. Now, any of you like to guess what I did? I said that I won't pray for you at all. See ya. Now, granted, they didn't come back to our church ever. But what if we've been doing it wrong? Telling people that already know where they're headed, where they're going. Husbands, admit it. Come on. You're driving down the road. You already know where you're headed. You know your destination. And you know just a half a mile up the road, you got to make a right. And all of a sudden, your wife says, be sure to turn right up here. You know where you're going. You already agreed on the destination. And you got to get instructions. You wives that do that, bless you. But let me just say to you, what point is there telling the world where they're going when they already know where they're going? Why don't you demonstrate the kingdom? Read your Bible, church. Read the New Testament. They demonstrated the kingdom and thousands came to Christ. I'm not exactly sure where I'm at this morning, except behind this pulpit. Acts 1:8 said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And since He has come upon you, you have received power. What power, Pastor? Look what Jesus did. Well, let's move on. Look at the New Living Translation. He says, but when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and every part of the world. That doesn't mean you've got to go to Africa. You could, but it doesn't mean that. The Amplified says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficient. I'm not efficient enough, Pastor. I don't really have great ability. He said you will receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends or the very bounds of the earth. The very boundaries. It's limitless. So I'm saying to you this morning, the Helper has come. When you received power, when you received the Holy Spirit, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I want to tell you something about this power this morning. It is the same power that was on Peter when they laid people in the streets, the sick in the streets, so that just his shadow could fall on them and they were healed. How many ever been walking along and your shadow fell on somebody and they got up from their lame bed? I'm not condemning you. I simply want to tell you that power's in you. That power. You say, well, that was just symbol. I don't care. Well, let the symbolism fall on them. I don't care. They got up. They were healed. All right, let's look here. He says in Acts 5, verse 15, so they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. In this case, it seems that everybody that the shadow fell on, they were healed. I'd like to go beyond that and say it was more than a shadow. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. But also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people. Oh, man. Can you just see ambulances backed up to this door or whatever building we're in? I mean, someone say, we're looking for somebody because the doctors can't get it done. Oh, Jesus. Bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were healed. You ever tried real hard to get somebody healed? You just tried so hard. You ever tried to get somebody to come to church? You just tried so hard. You need Jesus so bad. Please come to church. I'll guarantee if you just start demonstrating the kingdom, be a living witness of Christ, someone will say, you know what? There's something going on over there. I think I'm going to go check it out. All right, so we know that Jesus was this type of man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and great miracles were done through him. Even though we visited this many times in the past, look at it again in Acts 10, verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing how many? How many did he heal? Who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So what was he anointed with? He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So you have received the Holy Spirit. And if you have not, and probably I would venture to say just about everybody in this building has prayed the prayer, Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to pretend that everybody here has received. Is that all right? So you have received the Holy Spirit, and you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. But did you notice what it said? How God anointed Jesus. The Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. But he didn't just anoint him with the Holy Spirit. He anointed him with power. Power to do miracles. You think the world's waiting for you to give them a ride to the hospital so they can get fixed? That ain't what the world... That might be what they're saying, because the man laying outside the gate of the temple, beautiful, said, alms, give me alms. Peter said, I haven't got what you're really crying for, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the man still laid there. But he reached out and took him by the hand. Oh, you mean the Holy Spirit might require me to do something other than talk? He reached out and got him by the hand, and the Bible said when he did that, instantly his ankle bones received strength, and the man got up and jumped and shouted and rejoiced and went on into the temple to worship God with them. You say, but that's the Bible, Pastor. That's not real. It was real to them. It really happened. It really happened, and it's still happening in places today, and I'm believing to see more of that in our circles here. So notice this. Not only was he anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, but it said that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So sickness comes from the devil, not from God. Nothing you go through, no sickness, no affliction comes from God. It's all from the devil. Target the right one. And healing comes to the church through being anointed by the Holy Spirit, which brings power. Let's notice Acts chapter 19 and verse 11 and 12. They took handkerchiefs, the Bible says, and aprons from Paul's body that were saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it here. It says, now God worked unusual miracles. Now, if you get into the Greek, it'll take you on a long tour of a very expressive language concerning this word unusual. But here's what I've gathered from this word. Unusual was talking about miracles that didn't make any natural sense. Miracles that were beyond comprehension. You lay hands on someone and say, headache, pain, go in the name of Jesus. And they say, my pain's gone. That's not so unusual. The world didn't see anything. But you see someone that's in a wheelchair that's paralyzed from the waist down, can't walk, and you say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, and they get up out of the wheelchair, unusual. Those were the kind of fantastic miracles that were taking place. And it said, and God worked unusual miracles. Will God still work in you? Amen. God works in you, and the Holy Spirit helps you. Praise the Lord. God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them. Everybody say, left them. Diseases left. The diseases didn't wait around for you to cast them out. They left them. They said, I got to go. And the evil spirits went out of them. So when sick people were touched with these articles of clothing, saturated with sweat, but more realistically with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Bible said that sick people were made whole and evil spirits left the sick bodies. I'm going to ask for your participation in just a moment. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and just in case you are not one who has ever prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you right now, if you believe what I'm preaching to you today, if you believe the Word of God that you've seen and heard, I'm going to ask you just to say, Lord Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit.
and I receive it right now. And if you just do, you can do that quietly, because I want to speak a word to you, something very powerful. Nothing may be demonstrated in this message, and at the same time, everything may be demonstrated out of this message. God's not in a box as far as I'm concerned. He's out, okay? Whatever, Lord. Everybody say there's more. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you not only speak in tongues, and I love praying in tongues. I have a Pentecostal background. I'm so far shunned from Pentecostal circles, I don't know if I could ever get one back in one of their churches, except maybe for a funeral. Didn't mean nothing bad by that. Somebody will get that. But I know about speaking in tongues. Now, in the last 30 years, I've learned a whole lot more about speaking in tongues, about praying in tongues. But that's not the only reason we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But that we will be witnesses of Jesus with our lives, our very lives, and with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I declare to you this, even if you don't know it, you're going to get it today. You'll hear it today. That no sickness, no disease, no problem, no circumstance can stand up to the power that works in you. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is in you. You understand the kingdom is what Jesus demonstrated. Jesus didn't say, return or burn, you're going to go to hell. The disciples didn't come out of that Holy Ghost meeting on the day of Pentecost and say, turn or burn, you're going to go to hell. Now, they preached some stiff messages, don't get me wrong, but they demonstrated the kingdom. Has the kingdom come in you, and all you got out of it was, if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell? That's not what's in you. Let me tell you where that came from. That whole terminology came from the devil to scare people. Preacher, don't say that. The devil. God's not a God of fear. Fear is not in God. And we're trying to scare people in the church. And you know what? Those same kind of people get scared right back out. We're trying to scare them into church, scare them into the kingdom. And someone said, well, whatever it takes. I'll tell you what it takes. You want solid believers to come into the kingdom and be raised up in the things of God? Demonstrate the kingdom of God before them. You mean, Pastor, I actually got to do something outside the four walls of this church? Yeah, how about your home? Practice on your spouse. Practice on your sick animal. Well, I don't believe that. Is the power of God in you or not? The kingdom is in you. And then take it out to a neighbor. Hey, I saw my neighbor out there. He fell. Woo! There's an opportunity. Not, you know, to be one of those accident attorneys. But chasing, you know, fender benders. No, my neighbor fell off the ladder. Man, here's my chance. Honey, call 911. But in the meantime, I'm going to pray. Lord, I release the kingdom into this man for him to be restored right now according to the finished work of the cross. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And he'll get up from there and he will go to church with you next week. So some of y'all don't know if you believe that or not, but I'm telling you the truth today. When you exercise this gift, now I want to talk about praying in tongues for a moment. I want to tell you something that happens. I put some names on some things because they associate, they identify with me, and I want to share with you. Yes, praying in tongues is more than just speaking in a heavenly language and doing it in church and doing it in my prayer closet and laying on my bed and all of that. But there's something that happens. I preached to you sometime back about Jude 1 verse 20, about how that you build yourselves up. Well, he talks about your being a spiritual house, and you build yourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost. And so you can pray in the Spirit, but listen here. Here's what happens. When you pray in the Spirit, when you exercise this gift and pray in the Spirit, you will feel this energizing power of God inside you. And so let me just talk you through this in my own way this morning. And so I'm just praying in the Spirit. Maybe you feel burdened about something, weighted. Now, Jesus' burden is easy, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. But maybe you're just not walking in that way at the moment, and you're feeling real heavy, and you're doing some of that letting my heart be troubled and being afraid. And so you're just feeling this thing. Or maybe you know someone who's having a struggle, someone who's physically needing a healing, but you just don't know what to do. Well, really you do, but at the moment you're just crying, I don't know what to do. And so you begin to pray, Sito Rema Sebo Bobo, Breka Siko Brahita Base. Neshiko, no, I'm not just doing this to demonstrate, I'm doing this on purpose. Berro Shingureto Rema Herabaha Basi. Mekom Bahanda Remekita Koso Ba Ambahand. And that energizing power of God begins to work inside you. And here's what you need to do. Don't just say a couple of words and run. Let it flow in you. Listen to me. There's something energizing, churning on the inside. Let it flow in you until you feel a release, and then let it flow out of you. You know what I do when I go to Walmart? I pray in tongues. I'm looking. You all think I'm nuts. If I'm nuts, I'm seriously nuts. Let it flow in you. And there will be a point when you're praying, Sekorama Merama Katasi. All of a sudden, that thing that was weighing you down, that was kind of keeping you from seeing what you needed to do next, just lifts from you. There's a release. Now, it's time to let that flow out of you. Now, here's what happens. You'll feel a peace. There'll be a sense of that burden lifting. You will detect a note of victory inside you. Here's the next thing. The Holy Spirit's going to hug you and tell you everything's going to be all right. At which time, He may prompt you to do something. Listen to me very carefully, because I'm going to give you some instruction in a moment, but this is kind of some free instruction. If He doesn't tell you to do something, don't do it. Don't make it up. Don't say, well, I heard this worked at one place or another before. Too many people are trying to duplicate what everybody else is doing. You want to follow? My presbyter, the overseer of our Central California, pulled me aside when I was just a young preacher. And he said, son, if you want to pattern your life after anybody, pattern it after Jesus. The greatest advice I ever got. And so you're praying in the Spirit. Sebroko ramote sekete. There's something, Lord. Somebody needs a touch or something going on in me. And all of a sudden, and I'm just ad-libbing here, but it just maybe this breath. And this just this peace comes. And it's like, that's out of the way. And it's time to let it flow. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, here's a very important piece of instruction. Obey Him. Obey Him. Obey His voice. Others, as well as yourselves, will find that whatever's been hindering you, or a healing that you've needed, or even a breakthrough that someone has needed, has been removed, and the answer you need has arrived. Why? I took some time to deal with the thing. I didn't let my heart be troubled. Well, how do I not let my heart be troubled and ultimately get over into being afraid? Thank you, Lord. I praise you. I worship you, Jesus. I exalt you today. Remember what Jesus said to us as we were reading in John 4. Don't matter. I know it by heart. He said, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not the kind of peace the world has. Because the world will give you a certain amount of security. And you say, man, that sounds good. We better hurry up and call that 911 and get them people to the doctor real quick. I'm so frantic and so heavy-hearted. I didn't think about praying. But I'm taking them to the hospital. Isn't that the responsible thing to do, Pastor? And put your hands on and pray for them in the car. They sure ain't going to jump out. And yet we're praying, Lord, give me peace. Lord, give me peace. Lord, give me peace. Lord, give me peace. You're in me. I forgot. You have peace. That's one of those prayers you can't pray because it's already done. And so you're praying, and this instruction from the Lord comes. I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, has come. There's no waiting period. How many ever bought anything and you couldn't get it because there was a waiting period? There's no waiting period when you need the Holy Spirit to help you. There's no waiting line. Most everybody hates standing in line. There's no waiting line when it comes to what you need. The helper has come. He is here. But do you know what? So many times we associate the helper has come with what I need. What can you do for me, Holy Spirit? Let me ask you a question. Let's suppose you don't really have any pressing need. There may be somebody else that has a need. Somebody other than me has a need? You know? And sometimes we just don't just take a moment and say, Holy Spirit, what's going on? I know you're doing something. Yes, I get it now. Do what? Go do what? We react that way. I would rather shove a track in their face and say, you're going to hell. You need to get saved. I'd rather do that, Holy Spirit. Yeah, but that's the work of the devil. Now, somebody ain't agreeing with that, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, I've seen people turned off. Turned off because all we do is tell them how bad they are. Yet we're teaching the church not to see ourselves as sinners and filthy rags. We're the righteousness of God. We're the righteousness of God. And they're just a bunch of no goods. No, Jesus died for them too. They're not born again yet. Should I? Okay, I think I will. They're not born again yet, but God already sees them righteous. They're paid for. You understand? Stop messing with sinners. They're paid for. Jesus paid for them. I got some information for you. How about just go demonstrate the kingdom? Oh, what is the kingdom? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. You say, well, that was a little bit more difficult. Right, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Get up from there in the name of Jesus. And you just begin to demonstrate the kingdom of God. We just speak to Vicky to be healed and whole in the name of Jesus. God doesn't see her with emphysema and COPD. God sees her whole according to the finished work of the cross. She is whole. God doesn't see your arm, your bones backwards. God sees your arms switched around like they ought to be. That's what God sees. God sees you whole. What about the world out there? God sees them whole too. They just don't know it yet. They're waiting for somebody that knows the kingdom of God is within them to demonstrate the kingdom. I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning by way of closing. I'm going to ask you to take a couple of minutes. We're going to pray in tongues. Again, if you have one or two words, if you're still with stammering lips, if you've even one time ever kind of mumbled around and you knew it wasn't you, you knew it wasn't, you know, something you were trying to conjure up, it was the Holy Spirit, just a prayer language being released, even though it didn't fully manifest, I'm asking you to participate. I've waited for 2 weeks to do this. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me for a couple of minutes. Just pray in the Spirit. And there will be some of you it'll happen quicker than others. And that's okay. But there will be a point. There will just be this release. Some of you may already know what you're supposed to do. There will just be this release. It's like, and you're going to either realize that something happened in you. This man was praying a lunch hour not too long ago, and I don't know what happened in everybody else on the army base, but something happened in him. There was a release. There was a release. Hallelujah. And sometimes that's what it's about. Sometimes that release comes and you say, they need a touch. But Lord, I'm just going to pray, please send someone else, please send someone else, please send someone else, please send someone else. I know y'all never been guilty of that. What that means is God is showing you and he will give you instruction because you have a helper who will teach you all things. And if you forgot how to do it because it's not done enough, he will bring to your remembrance from Scripture how to get it done. Man, I got a helper. Hallelujah. And a helper don't just mean an assistant. I got a helper. He'll encourage me, even nudge me just a little bit to try to get me. Say, there it is. Go demonstrate the kingdom. And so I'm going to ask some of you, only if the Holy Spirit gives you specific instruction to demonstrate the kingdom this morning. Is that all right? Can we just demonstrate the kingdom in the church? And then when we get done demonstrating the kingdom in the church, let's go demonstrate it all week long out in the world. You want to fill up this church? Go get some paraplegic that can't move a bone in his body and just to get up out of that wheelchair, take off all them tubes and be whole, totally whole in the name of Jesus. The whole city will hear about it. And there'll be people saying, I wonder what's going on. I got to go check it out. Are you with me? All right. Let's just take a couple of minutes and just pray. Believers everywhere, just join your voices. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. Now, again, I want to say, if the Holy Spirit did not give you specific instructions, don't try to make up something and do it. Now, listen to me. This is very important, because if we walk out of here with no hands today, that's okay. Won't be a bit discouraged, but how many of you received a word from the Lord for someone? All right. You received a specific word. Either something happened in yourself, you know it definitely happened, or for someone else. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. As long as you keep seeing yourself prior to the finished work of the cross, it's not finished. The very fact that there's sickness means something's not finished. But yet at the cross, it was completed. See yourself at the cross. I never understood that for years, why they keep saying, see yourself at the cross. Foot of the cross. Be at the cross. I don't get it. Jesus was there, and he finished the work. He finished my healing.